Hey, this is WWE Superstar Neville, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
They think they got the answers. I change the question.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
These are the best in the world, brother. These are the best at what they do.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
Another wrestling podcast.
Another wrestling podcast. Now can you dig that, sucker?
Welcome, everybody, to another wrestling podcast. I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And I'm Steve Credo.
Steve, this is episode number 73. Who would have thunk it?
Wow. It's been a long time in the making.
It's been a roller coaster of emotions. Today is no different. We have one of the biggest names that we've had on the show, and dare I say, this will probably go down as our best show yet.
I'm going to hold you to that, Jonathan, because Scott Hall will be in the house, ladies and gentlemen, so stay tuned for that.
Chico.
Hey, yo. That's my bad Scott Hall impression. But he's going to be joining us, guys, so stay tuned for that. Stick around. Jonathan, you know, we say a lot of the same things every week just to get everybody in tune to what we're doing and what we are. But hey, guys, check out anotherwrestlingpodcast.com because that has everything and anything you'll ever need to know about AWP. So head on over there, anotherwrestlingpodcast.com.
You know, Steve, when we were talking a while back, we were talking about all different kinds of things in the world of professional wrestling, but we always talked about, you know, some of the greatest things that have ever happened in the world of professional wrestling. Greatest managers, greatest wrestlers, greatest tag team. Today, I think it's only right, with Scott Hall coming on the show, to talk about one of, if not the greatest faction of all of professional wrestling, the NWO.
The NWO.
Yeah.
Jonathan, you mean the NWO.
Listen, most of our listeners are old enough, they don't need it spelled out for them, all right? Just like GIF and LOL and all those cool things that you kids are typing on your computer. The NWO is amazing. It was great. And I think we should talk about that today.
Well, for my fan base that needs everything spelled out, it's the NWO, basically, guys. So NWO, probably one of the greatest factions of all time, Jonathan. Man, it all goes back to that one day, though. The New World Order was formed at Bash at the Beach, 96, when Hulk Hogan revealed that he was the third man. But it all started a little bit before that, too, with the whole, you know, going over, jumping ship with Scott Hall and Nash coming over. We didn't know what they were doing, what was going on. But pretty much Bash at the Beach started it all. That was the founding moment of this whole big faction. And that's what, you know, it snowballed into the big milestone it did.
Well, since we're dumbing things down for people now, the NWO was a great faction. And it was kind of formed out of, you know, obscurity. You had these two guys coming over from WWF at the time. They were well established. People really thought that this was a WWF invasion. And everyone was speculating who the third member was going to be. And this is something that we don't have today, is that element of surprise. Even when Hogan ran down to the ring, you know, no one suspected it was going to be Hogan, just because his entire life he was the good guy. So to have Hulk Hogan turn on Luger, Sting, Macho Man, the entire good guy roster, it was amazing. And it really was the spark that ignited the Monday Night Wars. The you know, everything from there just went bananas. So my question to you, it's no time like the present to talk about this, but that group started with three members.
Yeah.
Hogan, Nash, Hall. Was it its most effective when they started with just three, or do you think it was better later on when they added members?
Well, in the very beginning, I think it was great. You didn't really... How many more people did you need? You had, you know, these three mega powers, if you will, of a team. And, you know, it was great. It was new. You got the bad guy now, Hogan. You got the guys who jump ship in there. You know, they were a faction on their own. But then it started growing for the good. You know, they had X-Pac and the Million Dollar Man was actually in there. You know, it started growing for the good, I think. But then, you know... It did get out of control, a lot out of control. But in the very beginning, though, I think just the three guys, I think it was great. Adding maybe another one or two other guys in it would have been fine, but then it just got too crazy. I think you don't need that abundance of, you know, the whole roster pretty much that pretty much ended up in the NWO. But, you know, the very beginning, I think the three-man band was, you know, probably the best... best of what they could have done with the NWO. Granted, like I see, you know how it blew up, and you know at points and at times it was okay, it was good. I got it, but then you know nothing could beat that first time where they first started. You know I don't know. I don't think you really needed to expand too much more out of the three guys. Like I said, maybe one or two other guys in it, fine. But after that, then it's just like, come on already, stop.
Yeah, and you know we've had recent factions. The Shield, the Wyatt family, they really stuck with that small numbers. Even D-Generation X, Los Boricuas, the Disciples of Apocalypse, the Nation of Domination, their numbers never really got out of hand. And I think that at one point, there was a joke going around that like pretty much 90% of the locker room in WCW was part of the NWO at that time. So I'm a firm believer that The original NWO was great. I see the need for a few more every now and then, a couple power plays, but I don't even think they used the people that they had to their greatest ability. I mean, we'll probably get into this here in a little bit, but some of the members left me scratching my head. So if you're listening to us right now, you should tweet us and follow us at AWrestlingPOD on Twitter. We are not a huge fan of POD. Well, maybe, Steve, are you a huge fan of POD?
Hey, I've had a few CDs of POD.
Wow. learning new things about Steve every time we do one of these shows. But regardless, tweet us. Tell us what your thoughts are on the NWO. Who was your favorite member? Was it better just to have three members? Or, you know, did you like when there was 74? At one point, I think I was in the NWO. I'm not even... I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure that I... If you Wikipedia it, I'm probably in the NWO.
That's right, guys. Well, we want to hear from you pretty much is the point. So, you know, tweet us. Let us know your thoughts. You know, did you guys think that the three members was effective? Or did you think... Were you happy when it, you know, pretty much blew up until the whole big roster? But Jonathan, joining us in the studio right now is one of the original... three members of the NWO, and that's Chico Man, Scott Hall.
Hey, yo.
Today is one of the most recognizable figures in the world of sports entertainment. You know who he is, but you don't know why he's here. He is a multi-time champion and a WWE Hall of Famer. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Scott Hall. Scott, thanks so much for joining us today, and how you doing these days?
Hey, yo. I'm doing great, man. I'm obnoxiously happy, and I feel just really blessed.
Awesome. Now, Scott, you just spent some time with the WWE during SummerSlam weekend in Brooklyn. What was that experience like for you? Did you have a lot of fun?
Yeah, it was great. I liked being around all my old buddies. And the NXT show, I mean, I enjoyed the whole experience. I was at the NXT show, I was at SummerSlam, and I was at the Raw the next day. And it was really cool for the wrestlers and for the crew, particularly for the crew, to run the same venue three nights in a row. That was pretty cool. Three sellouts. And, you know, it's easier, you know, it's so much easier for those guys who have to tear down all the lights and the ring and drive it to another town. So there was really like a cool vibe in the company hotel. It really felt cool. It's kind of rare. Like it was a kind of a bonding thing. And it's really fun for me to interact with those young guys. I really enjoyed the NXT show. The energy was just nonstop in the building. It was like vibrating. It was really fun. And it, you know, I have a young son, Cody, who's, you know, in New Japan now, and you know, he's breaking into pro wrestling, and I feel really connected to wrestling for the first time in a long time. You know, I felt, you know, when you're not actively in the ring, you kind of lose that connection. Mm-hmm. But now, like with my son, I've watched more wrestling in the past year than I've watched in the prior five.
Now, Scott, a lot of your friends and coworkers are currently working for the WWE in some capacity. Have you ever given much thought to coming back to the WWE to work behind the scenes?
I would certainly welcome that opportunity. I think the best thing I can do to put myself in that kind of position is to just continue to make good choices, you know, and do the right thing. You know, WWE has always been there for me. You know, I mean, even when I was the guy who left and caused a shift in the ratings, you know, the WWE was there for me when I wasn't there for myself. I mean, I paid for the first five or six rehabs. They paid for the second five or six. You know, so there's always been a relationship there. Now it's up to me to continue to keep my stuff together where I'm, you know, I've learned, you know, that when I'm doing the right things and keeping my stuff clean and straight, my phone rings. Like, opportunities are there. So I'm just focused on that. If it's meant to happen, it'll happen. I would love to work it out. I just love being around the young guys. It's kind of the way I broke into wrestling. You know, guys helped me. I'll never forget one time I was coming back. You know, I broke in Charlotte, and when the business was changing. Like, it was more about television and merchandise then. Like, but you had to have a certain look. The look was becoming real important. Not, you know, the performance was almost secondary. Because the matchmakers would put a guy with the look with a guy who could work and have matches. So I was like too big to do jobs and too green to really go over. So I was just I was barely getting any matches. I was working like once or twice a month. And the business was catching on fire in Charlotte then because like Flair was there, Dusty was there. You know, the Horsemen were getting red hot. I remember one time I came back from like the second match. I was on second or something. I came back and Tully Blanchard pulled me aside. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, cool. Tully Blanchard's going to say something to me about my match. And mm-hmm. I was all marked down. He goes, hey, kid, a couple things you did, they were really good. Go ahead and keep those. He goes, that one time you did that, well, it was horrible. Don't ever do that again. Don't ever do that again. And I was like, okay, like, thank you, Mr. Blanchard. He goes, oh, don't be confused now. It's not that I care that much about you. He goes, but I don't want you killing the crowd off before we go out there because we drew the house.
Yeah.
So don't have the people groaning in the second match. Now, I never forgot that. I'm sure Tully doesn't remember it, but that's the way I broke in with the guys who know helping the guys who don't know. I'll never forget at the same time frame, Arn Anderson was there. And Arn said to me one time, like, you know, kid, sometimes the promoter, he doesn't even watch the matches. He knows who's in the ring, and he stays in the back and just listens to the crowd. He said, our business is all about who can make them yell the loudest and the longest. Those kind of things, to me, like, stuck with me. I went, oh, okay, I get it. You know, whoever's getting the reaction, you know, whether it's a boo or a cheer, because it is who's getting paid.
Sure.
So, you know, I can't help it. When I get around those young guys, if I feel like saying something, I have to. You know, I can't help it. So I've talked to a few of those guys. I think, I don't know, like I said, listen, I have to say this. You do with it what you want, and I'll say my piece. And I know it's like, to be approached by the old timers too, because I was a young guy currently on the roster back one day, and they would bring the old timers around. I thought it was really cool. You'd see them at catering, they'd throw them a bone. And I know it's like when the guys would come up to me and say stuff, and I'd do the real respect thing, like, yeah, yeah, thank you, sir. And some guys, you know, I listen to more than others, so I still have that in my mind when I'm approaching these young guys about stuff, like, hey, kid, you know, you. I realized, like, they're looking at me, and I'm thinking, wow, in the back of their mind, are they thinking, yeah, whatever, old-timer.
Now, well, it's been well-documented. You're not the only Hall with a wrestling legacy. Obviously, you mentioned your son, Cody, is wrestling now over in Japan. When you talk to Cody, what do you think his ultimate goal in the world of sports entertainment is? Is it WWE? Is it making a name in New Japan? What do you think he's got his heart set on right now?
Well, I like to let... my goal as far as Cody's wrestling career is to be known. I want people to say, that's Cody's dad when they refer to me. You know what I mean? Like, I look forward to when the roles reverse and they can go, yeah, that's Cody's dad. He used to wrestle, too, back in the day. Like, he was just here in Atlanta with me. He just returned to Japan. He's been back there like a week. And he was home for like 12 days. And he's, you know, life in the dojo is not easy. And I try to explain to him it's that way on purpose. I believe that New Japan makes a point of having a big difference between being an underneath guy and being a top guy. You know, they think that, you know, it's just, you know, the living conditions are cramped and small and you have to do a lot of chores and they're real old school about that. But not many guys are invited to participate. So I try to point out to him that, you know, there's a real upside there. I think that his goal is to, you know, I encourage him to see the world. He's young, he's single, you know, like, he, you know, I told him the other day, like, you're 24, you live in Tokyo. Things could be worse. You know, and, like, I encourage him to travel to Europe, you know. I mean, he's hoping that, you know, I look at it like he's only been on the scene about a year. So he's ahead of, you know, expectations. And, you know, I encourage him to travel around and see the world. And everywhere you go, you kind of learn something. That's what happened for me. You know, I really value the time I spent in Japan and in Europe.
Sure. When you first heard about him wanting to follow in your footsteps, did you try to talk him out of it? Or did you just, you know, get right behind him and encourage him?
Well, it was never something that we talked about because his mother is certain that, you know, pro wrestling is the root of all evil. So when he was six, you know, so he was never pressured into it, you know. I just focus on trying to be his dad. I don't really care about being his wrestling coach. But he approached me one day. He goes, hey, when are you going to teach me how to wrestle? I said, whenever you want. Because I never tried to force it on him. You know, he's been to a lot of shows. He's been, you know, he's been to shows with me from when he was really little. But I never wanted to force it on him. And I think he's got a lot of ability. I mean, I kind of pride myself that on being brutally honest. And if I didn't think he had what it took, I would have said something to him. You know, I think he has a great potential. So, you know, what he does with it is, you know, up to him. You know, so, you know, I feel really happy. You know, both my kids are doing great. My daughter's on an academic scholarship in college in Florida, and my son's chasing his dream. Like, I feel like I'm in a good place.
Well, you said that you, you know, you spent a lot of time with Cody whenever he said he wanted to become a wrestler. Was there one piece of advice that you gave Cody that was more important than anything else?
Well, I think I can give it to Cody and to a lot of young guys in any career. Just that make good choices. You know, like, I broke it in the era when booze and drugs are really prevalent on the wrestling scene. I'm happy to report that it's not that way anymore. And I was talking to Cody about some of the guys in Japan who I haven't, well, AJ Styles, of course, I know, but I haven't met the Young Bucks in person, although I feel flattered. They almost do like an NWO tribute in their work, you know. And he said, like, AJ, you know, these guys don't drink, they don't do drugs. The Young Bucks, they don't drink, they don't do drugs. And they're kind of the top guys over there in New Japan right now. So I'm really glad that Cody's getting to hang around that side of wrestling because he certainly witnessed it firsthand, the other side, you know, being around me. So, I mean, to that, you know, I'm not going to say booze and drugs don't work because I'd be a hypocrite. They do work. What sucks is when you want to quit and you can't.
Sure.
So I just try to point that kind of stuff out to people. You know, I'm not ashamed of my, you know, past drinking and using career, but I'm not really proud of it either, but it is what it is. Mm. And it was real. You know, I'm happy that these young guys now, and you know, that's not part of the game. I think that's been a healthy development.
Sure.
We're going to kind of go back and forth, talk to Scott here in a little bit, but we still have a lot to talk about on the show, so I'm going to ask you this. It's point blank. I need to know from you, who were the best members of the NWO and who were the absolute worst members of the NWO? This probably could be a show in itself because there were so many members, but just off the top of your head, who do you think some of the best members of the NWO were?
Top three, we already said it, Hall, Nash, Hogan, right there. And then if I just had to add a few others, it would definitely be Six or X-Pac or, you know, Six-Pac or, you know, Sean Waltman, whatever you want to call him. Definitely, you know, the click. It was, you know, it was one of the clicks in the NWO. So definitely Six. Definitely, I would say the Giant, believe it or not, Big Show when he was actually younger. Definitely added that, you know, big guy, you know, stardom to that faction, and they needed a Giant, and I think he was great. And of course, Jonathan, how can you deny the madness of the Macho Man in the NWO? That pretty much just solidified and the NWO as being one of the biggest groups of all time.
Okay, well, those are some of the best. I'm going to tell you, strictly, probably personally, the reason why I think this person was the best, was Rick Rude. Now, he was not in the NWO for that long, but his impact was made because he was the first person to be on Raw and Nitro the same night. Yep. He kind of aired some of his grievances on WWF at WCW, so I think that was very monumental. I think Kurt Hennig was another great NWO member. I think that he had a lot to give. He kind of added legitimacy to the group because Hogan's not the best wrestler. You know, Nash and Hall's actually got some wrestling chops, but Nash and Hogan, not so much. Sure. So whenever you add a technical wrestler, a good technical wrestler, it always helps out. And I totally agree with you, the Giant. It was, once again, another unexpected thing, and it was a pretty cool addition to the NWO. With the good has to come the bad. I'm asking you, who were some of the worst NWO members? Now, if you are listening right now and you were an NWO member and we're about to mention your name, don't feel bad. It's just that it didn't work in the NWO. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You know what? I'm going to go first.
Go for it.
I'm going to go first because this has been building for a while. One of the worst members of the NWO, even though there was a whole reason behind it, was NWO Sting. I was not a huge fan of that. I thought that, well, I'm not a huge fan of Sting anyway. So Sting, if you're listening, once again, I apologize, but you're terrible. So having the NWO Sting, there was a great storyline. Everyone thought that the regular Sting was in there, but then later it was revealed to be NWO Sting and blah, 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 blah. So NWO Sting was not a great one. Another NWO member that probably really didn't get my motor going would be Dennis Rodman, the Worm, the Rodman. He was a member of NWO, and he just didn't really add much, you know? It was kind of shock value, but...
Yeah, even at that time, he was still coming off his NBA career, and I think he was still playing, too, at the time, back and forth. But yeah, it was like they try to make it even more legitimate by having like an NBA player in there, and it was just like, yeah, come on, I agree with you.
I also, one of the other ones that comes to mind, and I mean, this will probably come up with you maybe as well, but the Disciple, where you remember him?
Yes,
he was Brutus the Barber Beefcake, the Booty Man, the Zodiac, whatever you want to call him. The only reason he was in there was because of Hulk Hogan. They were friends, and that's why he's in there. And it's one of those things. I get it. Everybody wanted to be a part of the NWO, and they're trying to capitalize on ex-WWF guys, but he absolutely added nothing to the storyline.
Yeah, it just started to blow up into, like, the old WWF guys of yesteryear coming over, and, you know, you had Michael Wall Street, Big Bubba Rogers, Vincent... It just started to be like, why? What are they adding to the group? They're not adding anything to the, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh, I'm friends with him, so hey, can I be in the NWO too? It just started to be a little bit too much, you know what I mean? Even Horace Hogan. Do we remember Horace Hogan? What is this guy doing anymore? You know, it was just like, okay, when you had the best of the best in the group from Macho Man, you had Hogan, Perfect, you know, all these names, and then you just started adding, like, the B Squad. It would just started to water it down and just be like, okay, I'm over it now, you know what I mean? To where they didn't need it. These guys just were looking for a paycheck, so if somebody said, hey, you know, you could bring this guy in, blah, 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 and yeah, it just kind of dumbed it down, and it wasn't doing much.
Yeah, I was watching a lot of wrestling at the time. I was flipping back and forth between WWF and WCW, and, you know, you always wanted to see who was going to be feuding with the NWO, but it ultimately ended up being, like, every week someone new would be added, and yeah. It really lost some of that appeal. Like, whenever, you know, when somebody turned and finally joined the NWO, it was awesome. You know, you had some amazing people, but then you also had, you know, Disco Inferno and you know, Scott Norton and all these guys that, you know, were good wrestlers, but at the end of the day, didn't really add that much to the NWO. So, guys, once again, you can get a hold of us and see a lot of awesome content that we have. You can go on our website, which we've already mentioned. You can go on our Twitter. Another great thing to do is go to youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod. We have YouTube exclusives on there, things that you will not hear on this show that you will only see on YouTube. Whenever we go out to events, you know, we've got a lot of events coming up that we're going to. You can go there and watch what we do at these shows. So go on youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod and subscribe and comment on our videos.
Yeah, and Jonathan, if you guys are listening to it, you already heard part one with Scott Hall, or you stay tuned for part two coming up in a little bit. But I want to, you know, give a shout out, because coming up on September 26th, it's your chance to meet the NWO Wolfpack, Jonathan. You're going to be able to see at the Pro Wrestling World at Merchant Square Mall in Allentown, Pennsylvania, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can meet Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Sean Waltman will be there, formerly Six. But also, guys, also, if you're in the town in Farmingdale, New York, from 5 to 8 p.m. the same day at Frankie's Eastside Gourmet, you can still meet them. So whether you're in Pennsylvania or New York, September 26th with ESSPromotions.com, guys, make sure you head on over. You'll be able to see the Wolfpack, NWO. You heard him here? And now go see him live in person, everybody. It's the 30th anniversary tour. It continues for ESS Promotions. September 26th with the NWO, Hall, Nash, and X-Pac. October 3rd, you got Gene Snitsky. October 9th and 11th, you have Haku and Barbarian, the Faces of Fear. October 16th and 17th, you have Tatanka. And October 31st, you have Demolition. For all this information and to find out how you guys can meet all these guys, head on over to ESSPromotions.com.
I guess my thought is, this is all going to boil down to this. At the end of the day, was there just too much NWO? We had the original NWO regular. We had the Wolfpack. We had the LWO, the Latino World Order. We had NWO Japan, NWO Hollywood. We had the Elite NWO. We had the B Squad NWO is pretty much exactly what they called it. And if you are a real wrestling fan and you do your research, I found out that there was rumors of even doing, like, an African-American World Order. I don't know exactly what it was going to be, but I know that it was definitely in the works. So,
who do they have to wrestle? Who is left on the roster for the WOs to wrestle anymore? I mean,
well, and that's what's great about it in the beginning, is that they had this small faction. They started to take over, and it was like WCW has to, you know, get together and fight these outsiders. And it ended up being the complete opposite, is that, you know, the small tiny group of what was left at WCW had to go against this massive conglomerate of the NWO. So
now here, I got a question for you. I mean, to cut, no. Bump in, but now, do you think the whole, you know, oh, we get a new member each week, was just a force to drive the ratings to kill Raw each week? Like, you had to tune in to see who the newest member would be, you know what I mean? Do you feel it was like that, or do you think it was just like, we're doing good, might as well just keep going and see what we can get out of this?
I think that at that point, the train was already, like, slightly going off the tracks. I think that it was a great idea, and obviously I'm not there, and I didn't have the time and all that in the business, but I think that it was a great idea, and they could have milked it for a lot longer without having 600 NWOs and 6,000 NWO members. Like I said, I still pay NWO dues every month in the mail, I think. I've got the membership card. It lets me go out to certain places and buy, you know, leather and Harley stuff. But I just think that it was too much. I really do. And, you know, NWO versus NWO Wolfpack, I get it. That's cool. That makes sense. But then there were so many incarnations. But if you notice, when the NWO finally came over to the WWF, when Vince brought them over, it was such a small group.
Yeah.
And, you know, he could have done the same thing. He could have added anybody. Yeah. And, you know, he was more controlled. And if you listen to anybody that talks about Bischoff versus McMahon, it was McMahon is, you know, he is in charge of everything. And it's been well documented that Bischoff really liked being in the NWO. And it became a thing like, oh, we're bringing this guy over, so he has to be in there. You know, the whole thing with Bret Hart was he was trying to get him in there. And then, you know, his WCW run really wasn't that great. But, I think that there was a proper way to do that in the beginning. They did, and then it just spiraled out of control. So my answer to my own question is that there was too much NWO.
No, yeah, I mean, exactly what you said, man. In the beginning, you know, when you build up to a certain extent, you have to kind of break a few guys off with, you know, the Wolf Pack, you know, which was great, you know. Then it was the red versus the white or whatever you want to do. And that was, it was all right. It was like, okay, it's starting to pick up something different now. I kind of get it. It's all good. But yeah, then, you know, when you just start breaking off to where everybody has their own WO, it's like, it's just, all right, you guys really are having a hard time trying to think of a new storyline or something going on. So either way, but guys, once again, we want to know what you guys are thinking too. So let us know on facebook.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast. Comment on the show, wherever you're listening to it right now, just comment on it and let us know your thoughts about it. And hey, social media, huh?
Today's show is brought to you by...
This week, Steve, I want to talk about one of the coolest things in professional wrestling merchandise today. We are...
Another wrestling podcast t-shirt?
Well, that's one thing, but even, dare I say, cooler than that is...
Cooler?
Is Wrestle Ruse. Now, I know what you're thinking. Maybe I know what you're thinking, but it is pro wrestling underwear. They have, you know, undies, boxers, and vintage wrestling tees. I highly suggest you all get on WrestleRuse.com. That's WrasselRoos, WrasselRuse. Steve, they have anything you can think of on there turned into underwear. You can look like your favorite wrestler.
Wow, this is, I mean, that's great. You know, with Halloween right around the corner, this is a must-go-to site before Halloween. And Jonathan, if you guys out there listening right now use promo code AWP, you will get 20% off your order. So why not?
Well, let me say this, and lots of wrestling fans are out there. I've alluded to this in the past. Most of you probably need to buy underwear now. Like, if you're listening to this and you check, it's probably time.
It's due for a change.
You're ready to go. Let's get this going, and what better place? And let me tell you right now, as a man, as a gentleman, if you are trying to court a lady, and you get home, and let's just say you go all the way,
third
and
base,
you're
baby.
Undressing, and she sees that you're wearing a pair of WrestleRuse, you have just sealed the deal, my friend. There is no turning back.
Or if, you know, an impromptu wrestling match breaks out, you're ready to go, my man. You are ready to go with your WrestleRuse. Head on over to WrestleRuse.com, guys. Once again, AWP for 20% off your order. Halloween is just days away, so get on over there. Tell them AWP sent you, and hey, get some WrestleRuse on you.
All right, the moment you guys have all been waiting for. Let's go back and talk with Scott Hall.
Now, professional wrestling is pretty, you know, it's cool again, you know, whether it be NXT, independent wrestling, or international wrestling, fans just can't get enough.
I feel that, I sense that too. It seems to be on the upswing.
Yeah, and so even with this large fan base today, do you think that wrestling will ever be as popular as it was when you were involved with it during the mid-90s? Do you ever think it could reach that height again?
Well, for me, when I think about it, you got to remember that the economy was different then. You know, it was stronger. And I think there was less entertainment options. You know, there's so many things now that people can view. You know, there's limited viewing options now. It's not just cable TV. There's so many things available online and stuff. I think that cuts into it. But overall, I would think the wrestling company's getting bigger. I'll tell you what, the WWE machine is a lot stronger than it was when I was there. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you go to TV, when you go to pay-per-views, it's unbelievable the production that's going on. And they got their network cameras there. They got cameras filming guys. You know, they're getting every angle. They're stocking that network full of stuff. I want a network show.
Yeah.
I want to do a travel show on the network. I want to show guys how to eat. I'm working on a cooking show. I'm going to do some of it here at Dallas' Performance Center. He's fixing to have a grand opening soon. It's right down the street, and he's got, you know, camera equipment and stuff in there, and I'm in a big industrial kitchen. I'm going to do a cooking show called Dude Food.
Nice.
And show awesome. Young guys, like, show young bachelors, like, you know, how to eat clean and good cheap. You know, yeah. I got some recipes, you know, because that's what I try to teach Cody, because I said, it's great if you have a woman in your life, but I never learned how to use the oven until I was 40. You know, I always had a girl take care of me. I lived with my mom, and I had girlfriends, and I was married, you know. So I try, Cody knows how to cook, you know. He grew up learning how to cook. So I don't want him to have to depend on a woman. You know, I want him to have one in his life if he wants one, but don't need one.
Absolutely. Now, people sometimes talk about the one thing that made them realize that they were a star. Was there a certain point in your wrestling career that you had realized that you made it, that you were on top?
I remember just kind of feeling kind of satisfied when I first got a break from Vince as Razor. Mm-hmm. Because I kind of had a label in the industry that, you know, he's got a good look, he can move, all that, he can talk. Something's missing. And where I struggled was, you know, when I still had like the Village People cowboy look and the big porn mustache, I was Scott Hall in the grocery store, I was Scott Hall in the gym, and I was Scott Hall when I walked the aisle. I didn't really learn how to shift into performer mode, you know. I didn't know how to, it was easier for me to pretend to be somebody else. So, and that gave me a lot of freedom that no matter how I really felt, you know, when I stepped through the curtain, I learned how to make that distinction. Well, you know, Scott may be struggling and maybe having a tough day, but Razor's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was a big thing for me. Just I'll never forget before I had a match, I was in the sports dorm in Tampa, and Ric Flair was there, and he was getting ready to go through the curtain and wrestle on Florida Championship Wrestling TV. And he was back there, and he was warming up and stretching. He had one of his elaborate robes on, and he was going, okay. And then he said to himself, but out loud, "Showtime." And then he went through the curtain, and it was like that. Everybody has their little ritual they do. I've noticed all the guys have their little, you know, superstitious little things they do before they go out, and that's what, I don't know if Flair does it all the time, but he did it that day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it had to be for me. I had to learn how to flip the switch. And as far as being a big star, I never really got caught up in that much. I just was happy. I kind of felt happy that I knew that if I worked for Vince, that studying the show, that everybody gets their swings at that. I remember like thinking, if I'm destined to be a job guy in the business, I want to do it in the WWE, because even Barry Horowitz has a baseball card. You know, like, everybody's a star when you work for Vince, because he points the camera at everybody, and it's up to you to get over by your display your ability or your lack of ability, but you're going to get an opportunity. And I had to know, like, maybe I hit a single, maybe I strike out, but maybe, just maybe, I hit it out of the park. And so after having guys say for a long time, well, you know, something's missing. No, nothing's missing. I just needed the right opportunity.
Sure. Now, Scott, we recently spoke with Jake Roberts about the new movie entitled The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. What were your thoughts about being a part of this project?
Initially, Dallas contacted me, and you know, and he reached out to me, and I wasn't in a good place, and I saw, you know, I saw how well Jake was responding, and, you know, that he was changing his life, and Dallas said, man, we're filming the whole thing, and he said, you know, we're going to call it The Resurrection of Jake the Snake and Scott Hall. And I remember thinking, having been to multiple rehabs in the past and not being successful, you know, I thought, well, you know what? Plus, being a mark for Jake, I didn't want to both be any of his deal. I said, hey, Dally, like, I'm just coming up there to see what happens. You know, you want to film it. If I could be in it, all I'm in. And if not, I'm not. You know, let's just keep it about Jake. So I ended up being in it anyway. And it's, you got to remember, this is me being in multiple rehabs. So I'm thinking, well, go to rehab again or go up here to Atlanta and try something new with Jake and Dallas. So I said, well, I can always go to rehab. Let me try something new, and it's been working. You know, I only live about two blocks from Dallas now, you know, so I'm still keeping that connection going, and you know, I just got done talking to him.
Was it hard for you to relive any of those tough and candid moments?
I don't enjoy watching the movie. I sat through the movie at the Slam Dance Film Festival in Park City, Utah, when, you know, we were up for an award there, and now there's some screenings coming up. And Jake and Dallas were just in Portland. I'm going to be accompanying them to some shows in New York. We have some stuff coming up in Chicago where we're going to do, you know, we're going to see the movie. Then we're going to apparently do photo ops, signings with the fans, then a Q&A. And it's real fresh because I was living all that, you know, and to see it back on film, a lot of it, you know, you know, it is, you know, it's painful. But I do remember some of the feedback from the audience in Utah. And what was cool there is those people were all there. They're all film people. They're all movie people. They weren't wrestling fans. And it was really cool, though, because, you know, making poor choices and living a reckless lifestyle, being addicted or abusing drugs and alcohol, a lot of people can relate. Unfortunately, almost every family, or you know somebody in your family or some friend who's been touched by it in a negative way. So a lot of people gave us feedback that, like, it was kind of worth it to sit there and squirm through the movie watching that back, because a lot of people went, oh, wow, that really, you know, helped me understand, like, my sister, or, you know, I didn't, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's what it is, man, it's what it is. Like, you got to remember, the cameras were around us so much that you got where you didn't even care, you know, so there's a lot of stuff that didn't make the movie. You know, so I don't know. I've only seen it twice, I think, and that was both at the film festival. So I'm going to be seeing it coming up, because and for info, go to JakeTheSnakeMovie.com.
We're going to be September 26th. We're going to be at the Pro Wrestling World store inside the Merchant Square Mall in Allentown, PA, from 10 to 1. Then later that evening, we're going to be at Frankie's Eastside Gourmet in Farmingdale, New York, from 5 to 8 p.m., so come out and say hello to the bad guy. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
All right, thanks again to Scott Hall. Wow. An original NWO member stopping by AWP, Jonathan. Another special shout out to ESSPromotions.com. Head on over there for your chance to meet the Wolfpack on September 26th. You can head on over to the Pro Wrestling World at the Merchant Square Mall in Allentown, Pennsylvania from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on September 26th. Or also, if you're in Farmingdale, New York on September 26th, head on over to Frankie's Eastside Gourmet from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. You guys will have, it's almost like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get these guys in the same room and meet and greet them. So you'll be able to meet Hall, Nash, and X-Pac. It's the 30th anniversary tour as it continues with a strong fall lineup, guys. October 3rd, Gene Snitsky. October 9th and 11th, Haku and Barbarian, The Faces of Fear. October 16th and 17th, Tatanka. And October 31st, Demolition. Guys, head on over to ESSPromotions.com for more information. And once again, thanks again to Eric Sims and ESS Promotions.
Well, that's the show. We want to thank everybody for listening today.
Each and every week, we do this free of charge for the fans.
If you're wondering how to repay us, we have just the thing.
Subscribe to us on iTunes.
Hey, and while you're there, be sure to rate us and give us a great review.
Hey, if you're looking for more information about AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com.
We are all over social media, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and more.
If you are an AWP superfan, you can also show your support by going over to prowrestlingtees.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast and buying one of our official AWP shirts.
We couldn't do the show without you, so tune in next week for...
Another Wrestling Podcast.